Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the New World Report with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Reuters, within these last hours, Mexican President Andre Manuel López Obrador, affectionately and popularly called AMLO, criticized comments by U.S. State Department officials about recent protests in Mexico, accusing the State Department of meddling in his country's affairs. I stopped there because there are particulars here. There was a large protest over changes in the National Electoral Institute. And in support of the NIE, the protests were in the large, it looks like tens and hundreds of thousands of people in Mexico City. Joseph AMLO is very popular and very successful. Clearly, he's taking on the U.S. State Department. Who's his audience for this? Because he's not in any risk of losing power. So how does he gain by picking a fight?
Well, I think what a lot of people don't understand about AMLO is that AMLO has a bigger vision of what he's trying to achieve in Mexico that is much more authoritarian than people realize. They think it's just, you know, he's playing partisan politics or that he may be, doing something on populist measures. But in reality, he has been, since his first day in office and even before then, aligned with the Foro de Sao Paulo, aligned with the authoritarian actors in Latin America. He's been one of the main foreign policy supporters of Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, the three most authoritarian states in the region. And obviously, he's aligned also with the big geopolitical global actors, Russia, China, and Iran. And so in that, he's leading a transformation of Mexico institutionally in ways that we've never seen before. And the most recent electoral reform is part of that. They call it the fourth transformation of Mexico. And within that transformation comes the overhaul of the democratic institutions. He's already done it with security. He's doing it with the economy. And he's now looking at the election, the electoral apparatus. Now, what makes people very nervous about that is that Mexico has an election next year. And in their election, there's a possibility that they can use this reform to essentially change the rules of the game and look for a way to either subvert the other democratic institutions or to, in a way, to favor himself or his successor, whoever he decides that's going to be. So I think that lost in the context of all this, John, is the larger project that AMLO has been working on since he became president, and even when he was even prior to becoming president, as ever since he's been a politician, because he's been aligning Mexico closer to this authoritarian alliance.
Ernesto, you dealt directly with the president of Mexico in your time in the Foreign Office, and you observed Brazil's present president and how he deals with Mexico. What is the relationship between Mexico City and Brasilia? Is it healthy?
Well, there's a traditional good, but not that warm sort of relationship between Brazil and Mexico, because basically both compete for leadership in Latin America. For a long time, since the 70s up to recently, Mexico was seen as much more pro-American. So the traditional anti-American Brazilian diplomacy took a lot of distances from Mexico. We basically, and I say we is Brazilian diplomacy because I don't see that way. But so Brazilian diplomats tended to see Mexico as an operator, let's say, of American interests in Latin America and trying to bring Latin America to under American influence, whereas Brazil wanted a more, let's say, balanced approach, so to say. Well, during the Bolsonaro years, that relationship was in a way inverted because we were much closer to the U.S. Than Mexico, or a lot closer in diplomatic terms and in the vision of the world. And this was allowing Brazil to become, let's say, the leader of Latin America towards democracy, freedom, capitalist economy. And we really saw things going much further in terms of Brazil as a big partner of democracy and freedom in the hemisphere to the U.S. with a much weaker role by Mexico. Now things are inverted again in a way, but for the first time in a long time, we have Brazil and Mexico with a similar vision of the world, I think. And that's not good, because that's a bad vision. That's a vision of making the world safe for totalitarianism, which is, to paraphrase President Wilson, right? That's what Lula and AMLO have in common. They want to drive the region away from the values of freedom and democracy and towards the totalitarian values or absence of values. So that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous.
Joseph, we have less than a minute. Is AMLO at this point, is he the senior figure in all of Central and South America? We look to him for guidance.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of new presidents that are now trying to position themselves as the leader of the new Latin American radical left. You have, obviously, AMLO. I think he does position himself that way. But you have Gustavo Petro in Colombia, who I think is doing the same. And now you have Lula Silva in Brazil. Now, the question to me is not which one of those is the leader. The question to me is, what do they do together when they're starting to all work for China? And that's the direction that they're taking the region. They're taking the region much closer to China and inch by inch further away from the United States. Now, the hardest would be Mexico, because Mexico is the one country we have the largest trade relationship with in Latin America, so in one of the largest in the world. So that'll be much more difficult for AMLO. I don't think he's going to do it in this term. But I think that's why he's doing all these electoral scenarios and shenanigans to be able to extend that for another five more years.
Joseph Umar, Ernesto Araujo, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,